Welcome to the Inquisitive Brain Podcast. I'm Shaw, your host. This is a podcast that brings interviews and insights from all walks of life from a bird's eye view on the reality of being. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're new here, we do hope that you stick around. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with a very talented artist, Stephanie Frizell. Stephanie records under the name of Dylan. She is a very successful Grammy-nominated artist and has been on the Billboard chart for emerging artists. She was nominated for Radio Music Awards, and she's appeared in film and television. Stephanie is the creator of the Songwriter Series, which is an online event which offers mentorship for award-winning songwriters, and she offers coaching. Stephanie is an author. She's published her first book, Self-Care for the Creative, which discusses self-care strategies for people in creative communities and really supports and champions those artists who may be suffering from creative block or who need that extra push. Stephanie has a lot of projects on the go. She has a brand new podcast that's just launched. She has a new EP coming out. She has her coaching company. She's also working on her second book, which is absolutely fascinating. And she's producing as well as curating new music. She really is passionate about her work, her art, and about other artists. And she really does have a very interesting, fascinating story to tell. And, you know, how she's come about to help people learn how to self-care, especially creative people. What I really loved about Stephanie is that she's so in tune to, Stephanie's very good at expressing herself. I feel she is. Her words, you know, she thinks about words. She talks about the intention of words, wordplay and all of that. And, you know, sometimes as a recording artist, you know, to be in the times and to be up on everything, you will use certain phrases and speak a particular way. And there's different areas of creativity that you can express. And that means it's a part of you. It's not really a moniker as such. It's a part of you. All of these personalities are part and parcel of you. Several people have done that in their careers. You know, really big artists have that sort of different side to them. They can have the artist part, they can have the author part, the mother part, the daughter part, the child part. All of these parts are a part of us. Stephanie's very aware of that. And because of her insight into being an empath, she uses and utilizes all things spiritual and all things that are mystical, magical, and wonderful. She's very into crystals, you know, which people know that I am as well. And she's very aware of the energy and how it affects people. I absolutely, totally enjoyed our interview. She's such an open book, very candid about some of her struggles as well with being an empath and also with depression in the early days. And she's, you know, she's utilized and harnessed some of her struggles into writing about them and helping other people to overcome them and to work with them, rather than it being a weakness. And again, she does express this very well in the book, Self-Care for the Creative. Being a creative person isn't easy. A lot of times people are isolated. It's not like going into a 9-to-5 job. People who are creative, and Stephanie explains this as well, it's almost like you have to create. It's an urge, it's in you, and you're not happy until you're creating. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So there is the starving artist. I believe it's an archetype. So this archetype is very fascinated with their art, just doing their art at any cost. And we find these people all over on the street. They cannot survive in a regular 9-to-5 job. That's just not what they are made of. And these are your musicians, your painters, your sculptors. Some of them are people creating all sorts of other things as well. The creativity spans the gambit. It is not just confined to something like music. Of course, you can create anything. Inventors are creators. And there's a lot of talk about learning how to harness creativity. Julia Cameron wrote The Artist's Way. And she does have a companion to that as well, like The Artist's Materials or something. I can't remember what it is. But in the end, I believe that just speaking to on this podcast, just speaking to other authors, artists, people who create all the time, comedians, this is within you. It's something within you. And I don't think anybody can make you do it. I think when you're ready, the art will appear. You may not feel ready, and the art will still appear, which means you were ready. You hear a lot of the biggest and greatest, most effective songs, the songs that really get in your soul, get into your soul. A lot of the artists, the writers have said, the songwriters have said, oh, I was just daydreaming one day, or I was doing the washing up, or I was doing something else. I was talking to a friend, and the idea came into my mind. I was walking, and I don't know if, like a writer might do, you've got all these old images of writers sitting at their desk, fingers on the at the ready, and just waiting for the words to flow through. Now, that may happen, and I'm saying all this because I don't think there's any one way in which art is created. And there is this idea that everything that is created has already been created. So just depending on your beliefs, and it's just something to think about. This is what this podcast is all about. We present to you the ideas, our ideas, myself and my guests. This podcast is a very much a conversation. It's interviews, yes, but I do feedback. That's been my feedback. I've been told we'd like to hear what you think about that. So I do chime in now and then. And Stephanie has such a great communication style, and that she's really very self-aware as well. And empaths usually are. We do talk about her thoughts on empathy, and we talk about her thoughts on creativity. I always ask the question, are we born with it? Do we learn it? So a lot of people go to music schools, but they may have a little something, and then they go into school to perfect it. So maybe to learn how to read music. It doesn't mean you're not an artist. It means that there's a bug or something within you that's been struck. And because I don't think it debilitates you, but there's something that's been struck, a bug that's struck, and you feel it, you know it, you're drawn to it. Some people will go for it, and I believe that's where who you are, your consistency comes in. Whether you're built for it or not. So some people will go for it at all costs. And then some people will go a different way. Perhaps it's too hard, it's too difficult. Perhaps they've got a family to feed. There are many reasons why people don't pursue that path, but it doesn't mean your creativity has to stop. It only means that perhaps you're going to be creating within your own home. It won't be a public issue, a public thing. Maybe it will just be for those you love and for a few. I find artistry, creativity really fascinating. Stephanie joins me today to talk about all of that. Again, it's been such a pleasure meeting her. She's fascinating. I know you'll find her fascinating. And what I found was she's very different from Dylan. How she records. She records as Dylan, Dylan. And she tells us a story about how that came about as well, because I ask about that. And her music is very different from how she comes across. And that's how I see it anyway. It'll be interesting to see how you all see it. Anyway, go and get the book. It's Self-Care for the Creative. I'm still stuck in the 70s and 80s with my music. And I don't listen to much else. But when I find other artists who I find very interesting, I will listen to them. And of course, other people around me, younger people around me, I'm almost forced to listen to some of it, which I very conveniently carry headphones. That's why I carry headphones everywhere. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. I'm going to get in trouble for that. So without further ado, let's welcome Stephanie to the show. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me today. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to jump in today.
Now, you've got so many, I suppose, hats in the air. You do so many different things. But I want to start out with your podcast. Congratulations. You've just launched your podcast, which is wonderful. It's called Self-Care for the Creative. And I want to ask you what inspired you to start a podcast?
Sure. So the podcast is basically the companion to my book, Self-Care for the Creative. And obviously, I wrote the book, but I also wanted to make sure that people that are on podcasts and listening to all kinds of different content to be able to access the materials. So I made sure that I am bringing on different creatives in different areas with different, creative practices to talk about their creative journeys and their self-care, certain struggles that they've had to deal with, such as anxiety, depression, all the things that a creative might go through, just to give that audio experience for listeners to, and also to, find the book as well, and to provide a way to just give little short snippets of all the techniques and strategies that I love so much about the book. So yeah, it's basically the audio companion to my book.
Okay, that makes sense, right? Okay, which we're going to talk about your book in a minute because I think anybody who finishes writing a book, just going through the process, hats off to you. So we're going to come to that. But tell us a little bit about the songwriters series and what do people get, what's involved, and who can join.
Of course, yes. So the Songwriter Series is a online platform that I created and I curate and I host quarterly. So every few months, I bring in a new round of three different hit songwriters who are all award-winning, top of their field, have had lots of cuts with amazing songwriters and artists. And it's really just a platform for anyone to join who is an artist, a songwriter, a music producer, looking to get mentored, get feedback on their music, and to just come to a space where they can ask questions and get support and get inspiration and get a breakthrough. Because I, at least I've found that in the music industry, a lot of people tend to kind of keep to their own corners. And there's obviously community in different areas, but I love the idea that it's online, that anyone can tune in from anywhere, whether you're in Belgium or Australia. We've had people come in from Australia and they get to see this curated group of songwriters, and every time it's new, every time it's different, and you get to have a little taste of their expertise. And I love it because I encourage people to come with something that they're struggling with, and ask questions about that, and be like, oh, I'm struggling about this, or I'm, specific questions, so that they can just receive that support and get really loved on.
And do you find that creative people, we're going to delve into the creativity in a minute, but do you find that creative people are a little bit more sensitive to feedback? What's your experience with that?
Of course. I feel like every creatives are sensitive creatures just in general. It's what makes us so great at what we do with our art and our creations. But at the Songwriter Series, everyone's been really great at just coming in with an open mind and coming in to learn, coming in to, bring what is up for them and be open to receiving ideas and collaborations and new ways of thinking that they may not have previously thought about. So I think that's the best part. Everyone's a really good sport. Like they play their music on the call. So that's one thing you get to do at the Songwriter Series is you submit a song and it might get a chance to be played on the song, and the songwriters give feedback on those songs. Obviously, it's a little bit of a vulnerable situation because it's like showing a work in progress, right, to somebody you don't even know. But everyone's been really excited about that, to be able to showcase their work to a hit songwriter. Because truly, when you're first starting out in this industry, if you're a new up and coming artist or songwriter, it's pretty impossible to get in the room with a big songwriter. Like, it's just not normal to first jump into this industry, and then all of a sudden you're working with, whoever who's done like a ton of songs. But the Songwriter Series gives you that access. You're able to get in the room with those people and play your music in front of them, which is pretty cool. And they give you that feedback. So yeah, everyone's been really receptive to the feedback so far.
Speaking of which, songwriting, all creativity is very interesting. It's subjective and it's what you know, what you're born. Well, I believe people are born, but I wonder for you, do you feel that you were born with this particular creative gift? I know you have a few, but you know, you're an empath, you've got lots of gifts, but what are your thoughts on creativity? Are we born with it, or is it something that we work at and learn?
That's a great question. I think possibly both. It just depends on the individual. Like everybody that is in the music industry game, whether you're a songwriter, artist, like most of us will tell you that it's something that we need to do, or we've always felt born to do it or called to do it. And I think that I can't say whether or not, you know, genetically that's a thing, but I do know that most of us that are in this industry are super passionate about it, and like we are obsessed with it. And for that reason alone, I think that when you know something is your calling, it just is. But creativity is interesting because, I mean, I came into this field as a, you know, singer-songwriter, and I knew that that was an aspect of my life that was always going to be in my life. I did not know that I would end up actually writing books or, you know, starting a podcast or, you know, I think creativity can kind of take all types of twists and turns if you let it. And so much of it is around your curiosity. How curious can you get about yourself and the ways that you can become creative? So I think that's really exciting, is that whether you're a creative or not, you can always find ways to incorporate different ways of creativity in your life.
Never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button right now. Thank you for your support. You make this podcast possible. Now, back to the show.
When you were really young, were you the person singing, you know, with a hairbrush in the mirror, or were you songs with your friends? What was happening for you early on?
Oh, yeah. So it's embarrassing, but like I used to put like skirts on my head, and I would like, you know, sing with my mom's karaoke mic and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I loved performing from a young age. And I also like to think that, well, I mean, it's, you know, not a fun experience, but like my parents did divorce when I was quite young, and that was traumatic for me. And so I don't think that there's a coincidence that right around the same time I really started singing. So I almost as an escape or a way to find happiness or a way to express myself. And so I do think that sometimes creativity or even sensitivity can be born out of sometimes traumatic experiences.
That's a really interesting aspect to it all.
Yeah.
On this show, we've talked about that quite a bit. I've been interested in that. And as well as being a therapist, I'm also a spiritual medium. So I've interviewed lots of different people about that kind of thing and what happens. Mm-hmm. And there's a Netflix show called Surviving Death, and I interviewed the guy who was with all the mediums, and he said most mediums have had some kind of trauma in their
life.
So that's interesting. We need to do more research because I'm psychology side of me is a scientist, so I want to research.
Yeah.
I think you've touched on something there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so your songwriting, and I've listened, I want to ask you about two things. One, I know you record under the name of Dylan. So how did that come about?
Sure. So Dylan, so let me just backtrack real quick. So I'm from Canada originally, and I had a whole initial career in Canada when I first started under a completely different name. And when I moved to the States, it was a turning point for me. And I felt called to totally revamp, change my name, start a new project. And so that's when Dylan was born. And Dylan, the name comes from a guitar, actually. So when I was 18 or so, I suffered from pretty bad depression. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book in the first place, is because at the time I was really off the rails. Like I, at my lowest, didn't want to be here anymore. I had zero coping skills. I was just starting out in music. I was a young adult, you know, figuring out like who I was in the world. And at the time, my main instrument was a guitar, and I had three different guitars, and one was called Dylan. And this guitar, I was told when I bought it, it's made out of carbon fiber, so it's like a really tough material. And I was told when I bought it that, like, you know, it's unbreakable. You know, you could drop it on the floor and it won't smash, it won't shatter, it can, you know, weather any storm. And that guitar was the guitar that I used during that time to kind of get myself out of that depression. I remember picking up that guitar, you know, once a day. Even I had really bad writer's block at the time, so I wasn't really writing at the time, but it was kind of an anchor for me to kind of get me out of that depression. I remember, like, just kind of encouraging myself to pick it up once a day for like 10 minutes, even if I didn't write anything. I was like, just pick it up, play with it a little bit. That guitar helped me get out of my depression, and I loved keeping the name as the sentiment of who I am, as unbreakable, able to weather any storm, you know, just invincible in that way. So I just, I kept the name for my artist project.
That is heartwarming. So
yeah, hit the whole deep story.
No, it's absolutely fantastic and meaningful. Well, it's something you often talk about, and that is intention when you talk about songwriting. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say things like, you know, what is your intention for this song, for these, mm-hmm. these words?
Right.
So, you know, that is in line with what you practice, what you preach. You know, there was right. intention there with that, which makes it even more powerful. When people come to you, what do they really want to do? Are they looking for guidance with their songwriting to unblock some creative blocks?
Sure. I mean, it's different for every person. But I do think that one of the common themes when people come to coach with me and work with me is that they want to feel validated in their experience, that, you know, they're not the only one, that they're seen, they're witnessed, they're held through what they're going for. Because, you know, it can often be a pretty isolating journey as an artist, a songwriter, or creative of any kind, really. And so I think that's one of the biggest benefits of coaching or coming to any one of my events, is that you are amongst other like-minded creatives, you're amongst other driven songwriters and artists, and you really get to be seen and held. And, you know, there's people there that relate to what you're going through. And I think the other thing that I bring to the table that's a little bit different is I'm a woman. You know, I have a nurturing touch, I'm caring, growing up in this industry, it was all everything was run by a man. And, you know, I would have loved to have been part of things that were more female led and, you know, just in that kind of different, you know, space and an arena that was just really supportive. So I think people come to coaching because they want to be validated with their experience, and they want to know that things are possible for them, you know, and that there's always a block somewhere. It could be a money thing. It could be a, I don't want to put myself out there thing. It could be a, how do I keep up with social media? There's always some sort of block that someone is going through. But what's so funny is usually when we start coaching, I kind of walk them through processes of like how to mastermind and solve each of these problems. And they usually know the answer. They just need someone to mirror it back to them to be like, you know the answer. and then they're like, oh, you're right. Thank you. I know what to do now, blah, blah, blah. So it's just kind of having that camaraderie. And I like to refer to myself as kind of being like your co-pilot, your little wing woman, just to kind of, you know, be your number one fan and just hype you up and let you know that you can do it.
And I like what you said about you like a wing woman. You're really there, spurring them on, championing them. I know that you're an empath. Do you feel that you were always empathetic? I'll just quickly say to the listeners and viewers, some of you may have heard me talk about empathy before. I believe we're born with empathy, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. some people miss that little bit. However, we don't know. It's still research. Do you feel that even as a child, you sort of felt that with people?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. For as long as I can remember, I was very aware of my surroundings, very in tune with people's emotions. And I think the divorce that my parents went through definitely impacted me as well. And I don't know whether or not I was born with it, or if I was born with it and my early experiences neurologically affected me and kind of brought out that empathy and sensitivity. It's hard to say. I don't know for sure. I think, if I were to guess, I think I was born with it, and that those early experiences definitely brought that out of me right away. being hyper in tune with people's emotions for sure. Yeah.
Which can, begs the question for you, did you find there were challenges being empathetic? You know, empaths can really suffer sometimes.
Of course.
But also, has it been a strength, and in what way?
Yes, absolutely. So I didn't actually discover that I was an empath until I was 30. So I love telling this story because basically the majority of my life so far, I had no clue what it was. And it wasn't until I went to my therapist's office and, you know, was having my therapy session, and I was, you know, really at this time, in the thick of my codependency issues, I was taking on a lot of people's problems, and my relationships were really one-sided, and I was giving, and people were taking, I had no idea what I was doing. And it's just because I didn't know that I was empathetic and highly sensitive and just prone to want to help and to heal. And I was drained all the time. And then my therapist did say, she was like, have you heard of empaths and highly sensitive people? And I was like, no, what is that? And rocked my socks off, total major aha moment for me. Went home, read every book there was on it. and then I really wished that I had known all this stuff sooner, because it all made sense. Like, my entire life all of a sudden made sense. I was looking back on very specific moments in my life and how I coped with it then, and realized, oh, it's because I was empath, or I'm an empath, or, you know, I used to, feel like odd when I was growing up as a kid or amongst my other friends, because I was overthinking a lot. I was feeling very deeply. I wasn't processing things the same way as my peers. So I often felt like something was wrong with me at the time. But knowing what it is now, I'm just like, okay, well, this is who I am. And I have so much more self-compassion towards this trait, and I understand it better, and I honor it. And I am so hardcore about my boundaries now. And it's what makes me a great creator. So I really cherish it a lot.
With empaths, they often tend to reach out spiritually in a way that connects with the other world, shall we say, or whatever else mm-hmm. is around us, and many names for it. Everybody out there, you may have your own words for it, but, you know, tarot, mediumship, healing, you know, remote healing, crystal. Yes. So did it play a part in your journey? Any of those?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's funny because, well, I consider myself a witch. This is, you know, the last few years, I really went through a pretty awesome spiritual journey around that. But throughout my whole life, there were signs that I was like, I remember being very small and very drawn to crystals. And I remember this one time my dad took me to like a flea market type thing, and I saw an amethyst crystal. It was $10, and I was like dying to have it. And he was just like, no, it was like an immediate no. And I remember at that point, I kind of pushed it away in my mind, like, oh, rocks are stupid, rocks are silly, whatever. But when I look back at that moment, I'm like, wow, I was so young, so drawn to crystals. And I used to go to the local store to buy candles and incense. And, my favorite movie was The Craft when I was a kid. You know, so there was all these signs throughout my childhood and teenhood and even early adulthood that I was very drawn to the spiritual world. And it didn't click for me. Like, for the longest time, I just thought it was a hokey whatever. But then I went through a really terrible time, a breakup relationship, if you will. And I needed to do some sort of cord cutting spell. And I really needed to just let go of this one situation and person in particular for my own healing. And I turned to spirituality for my personal healing. And I ended up creating this really epic, iconic, day-long ritual and spell around this for my own personal healing. And it wasn't until afterwards that I was like, wait a second, I'm a witch. And I was like doing all the, you know, the candles. And I was, it was just crazy that like, it didn't even click until afterwards. And then I was like, okay. And then, you know, my spiritual journey kicked off from there.
I'd just like to remind you all to click that like button wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. On YouTube, leave us a comment. It really does help with the algorithm and to push the podcast forward. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or any streaming platform, please do the same. Like the video, share it as well, and leave us a 5-star review or any review, whatever you're thinking. Feedback is welcome. Thank you for your support. Wonderful. Yes, I've seen some of your photos of your crystals and they're fantastic, amazing.
Thank you. I have so many.
Me too. It's so difficult to display them. You have to clean them. You put them on the new moon. It is so much, you know, crystals need love too.
Yes. So much. Yeah, of course.
To care for them. Okay, so yeah, and some people will have those practices but not call themselves witches or so everybody has their thing.
Yeah.
That brings me to your how you express, because you're very good actually, I think, just watching some of your videos on Instagram and everything. You're very good at expressing yourself, very
Thank
good
you.
Speaker, and really good at expressing your thoughts. So I wonder, did that lead to, did you have a sense of that? And did that lead you to writing your book? If not, what led you?
Great. To? Yeah, I think, you know, it wasn't always like that for me. Like I can recall being a kid and I remember being very quiet, very shy early on. So this, the ability to be, you know, confident and outspoken and just say what's on my mind, it wasn't always like that for me. I think I used to have in the past a lot of fear around saying what's on my mind, really having an opinion and owning my perspective. And I think what's changed is that I just love and respect myself differently. And I think that's just my own personal growth and personal journey. So I think as I've, you know, gotten to know myself and understand myself and really just honor and respect everything about me, I think that's just kind of come naturally with the territory. Plus, you know, being a performer and a singer for the majority of my life, I think that's also, you know, being used to on stage is just like a thing that I'm used to. So I think that's where it comes from, but it's definitely grown and changed. And how it's related to the book, I actually think that writing the book has helped me express myself more vocally around these subjects as well, just because, you know, I spent a year on it and I really versed myself on all these topics and read a lot of books and, you know, put in the research around all this stuff. So I think the process of writing the book has given me more confidence to talk about the subjects as well.
There's so much in that. I like that you pointed out it took you a year to do that.
Yeah.
Also, what you were talking about was, you know, being younger and perhaps not being aware that you had these gifts inside, or, I mean, this is my interpretation. But being a little bit shyer, I suppose.
Yes. Yes, I was, definitely.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting? Some children are very good at just expressing themselves. You know, I'm me, and no, I'm first, and get away, and you know, they're really bossy. And some children fall back. I think it's about personality, because you know, psychologists believe we're born with personality, but I don't know. Sometimes, if we grow out of it, or it shifts, and I think with you, that's what's happened. It shifted in a way that you can now express yourself, which brings us to the book, because fantastic, well done. It's out
there.
A link will be in the show notes.
Thank you.
Tell us about self-care for the creative.
Yes. So this is my first book. I'm super excited about it. And as I mentioned before, one of the main reasons why I wrote it was because I did struggle with depression and anxiety a lot when I first started my career as an artist and a songwriter. And when I discovered I was an empath, it blew my mind wide open. And I wished I could go back to the beginning of my career, knowing these tools and strategies ahead of time. So And I also realized that the connection between creatives, empaths, and highly sensitive people hasn't fully been drawn in. So I was like, okay, well, these three things are all very related. And what if I could just throw it all in a book for the creative, for an artist, a songwriter, anyone who's in a creative field, so that they have the tools, they have the strategies to live this creative lifestyle. So that's really what the book is about. We cover the basics of self-care. We go over working from home, because creatives often work from home. And there's a whole list of things around that that can help empower you. And we go over being your own boss and those tools that you need to make all those decisions yourself, because that can be a really big mental struggle as well. And of course, we cover empaths and HSPs. Creatives often are. And that's a whole other category that needs to be addressed, because if you don't know what your boundaries are, you might get drained, overwhelmed, exhausted, all of those things. So bringing some awareness around the empath and HSP thing to the creative field, I think, is really important. But I think my favorite thing about this book is that at the end of it, there is a design your own self-care toolkit. And that's because everybody's self-care looks different. So I walk everybody through a process of what works for them, so that when you're done with the book, you have a toolkit and you've already identified the things that work best for you, and you have a plan of how to incorporate them into your daily life.
What would people take away besides that toolkit? Because I've seen some of the book and there's really good outlays of what this means, what that means, for people just to guide them along. So what else will people gain from actually getting a copy of this book?
Sure. So one of the techniques that I created actually is called emotion separation. And this is particularly powerful for empaths who struggle with taking on people's emotional baggage, which is very common in songwriters and artists, especially if you're in songwriting sessions. You have to listen to the other artists. You're around people all day. So you're constantly absorbing emotions. And emotion separation is the act of separating or differentiating your feelings from the feelings of another person. So this is really powerful, because that's one of the biggest struggles that I had, was not being able to process what feelings were mine and what feelings were another person. So in three steps, you write down all your feels. That's step one. Write down everything you feel. Could be, you know, your friends, your husbands, whatever. And then step two, you label it. You label it mine or not mine. So you're literally sorting through your emotions and just categorizing, okay, what, you know, this particular emotion 100% is mine. That's not mine. And then step three is to just claim what's yours and release what isn't. So I like to refer to this process as like clothes washing around in the washing machine, right? Like all the clothes are in there, and some of it's yours and some of it's not. And at the end of the day, you dump out all your clothes and you have to sort through it. And so I like to refer to it as sorting through your emotional laundry.
Because there's no school, is there? I mean, there used to be A&R. I guess there still is A&R. With record companies, it's all changed. It's all different now. Mm-hmm. So where do artists go? Who guides them? Who helps them?
It's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question. There's a whole conversation around how a lot of people think that artist development is dead, because record labels don't do it. Even managers don't do it. Your publisher doesn't do it. There's no one really. You know, songwriters actually are probably at the front line. They don't get paid to do it, but they are at the front line guiding those artists and helping them find their sound and, you know, holding their hand throughout building their project. So I would definitely credit songwriters as the kings and queens of, you know, artist development. But there is a conversation about how artist development is dead, and that's where I want to come in and change that. Because everything we do, whether it's the songwriter series, the coaching, the rewrites masterclass, In the Mix, it's all about developing an artist. So we are alive and well over here with artist development.
Oh, that's so good to know. So let's just do a quick round of questions just off the top of your head. See what's happening in life at the moment. If you could name an old retro band, what would be your favorite one?
An old retro band. The first thing that's coming off my top of my head is Led Zeppelin. I don't know.
There you go. Yes. You're laughing my own. Absolutely. Yeah. Top three for me. Okay. Top three songs in your playlist right now.
Oh, that's such a good question. Probably every song is probably by Russ. I'm such a big Russ fan. I don't know which songs. The top three Russ songs I'm probably listening to right now are Nasty, Star, and Handsomer, probably. Wow. Though I listen to music, so yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
It's fine. Underground.
I was going to your Instagram and I saw a post about him. So yeah. A book that that you feel changed the very core of you.
Yes, I got two. You Are a Badass, Jen Sincero, and The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron. Both of those, yeah.
Amazing. Not surprised about Julia.
Yeah.
Your go-to crystal. Let's say you're running out the door. What would you grab?
Oh, that's such a... I love this question. I feel like I could do a whole other episode on crystals. Ooh, I think the first thing that I'm thinking of for some reason is I have this tiny little jet ball. It's about this big and it fits in the palm of my hand. And anytime I'm going to like a social activity, I like to have that on hand because it makes me feel like I can kind of shield energies and, you know, sort of it can help absorb anything that's going on around me and that it doesn't have to like, you know, penetrate me. So my little jet ball, I think, is my choice.
Wonderful. Yeah, jet is very grounding as well. Jet doesn't get enough love. So I'm glad you mentioned jet.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Okay. Last life lesson you've learned.
The last life lesson. This one, I think this one's really fresh for me. I've been really reframing the way I look at and relate to stress. So what I mean by that is I think in the past, I had a relationship with stress as almost like a toxic relationship with it. Like if I was under a certain amount of stress, it meant that I was working hard and that meant I was doing good, right? And I'm reframing my relationship to stress now and kind of looking at it like, well, why? Why put myself through, you know, unnecessary amounts of stress? So I've definitely been reframing just the way that I look at it and the way that I relate to it and putting a lot of boundaries around, okay, when is too much and when do I need to go chill out and just really, really loving and honoring and respecting myself when it comes to how much stress I take on.
Great. And what I love about that is you're not saying stress is bad. What the world needs less of is...
What the world needs less of. Ooh, that's so, so good. I love these questions. It's a whole other podcast episode. I think, I don't know why, but social media keeps coming up in my head right now. And I think the world needs less distraction or less passive distraction. Because I think a lot of us aren't in control of what we're consuming, whether it's on social media, the news, whatever it is. More intention in where we put our focus. Because I feel like that's very relevant right now is I think the attention span now is like 2.9 seconds or something. It's something ridiculous. And so intentionalizing how you're spending your time. So I think less passive distraction. And I think a lot of that is social media. Yeah. And not that social media is bad. I love social media. I'm on there all the time. And I, you know, it's an important piece of running a business and, you know, doing your thing. And I think that's awesome. It's just a matter of, again, boundaries around what that looks like for you and when is too much. Yeah.
So from this lifetime, you want to invite three people just for a quick coffee. Probably got 45 minutes to an hour because you've got an appointment now. You're going to, you know, to writer's meeting.
Okay.
Who would you ring up and say, right, at Starbucks, come and meet me?
I love these questions. Okay, so they have to be alive.
Yeah,
right? They have to be alive. Okay. They have to be alive in this lifetime. Okay. You have to be alive. Three people. Gosh, that's so good. Well, Russ for sure. Joni Mitchell, I think, would be incredible. And okay, so I just met her very briefly at her most recent book launch. Dr. Judith Orloff. That's a really interesting mix. Dr. Judith Orloff, Joni Mitchell, and Russ. I don't know.
Well, yeah, oh, that would be interesting. I wonder who would take most of the conversation.
Probably Russ.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the passed on one. So from the past, any three people, and you've got more time with them, maybe, you know, a couple of hours, really.
Okay. So they've passed on, gosh, okay, three people. Anthony Bourdain would be there for sure. I don't know why, but Van Gogh is coming in my head. I don't know why. Van Gogh. My grandma. I never met her, but she's very present in my life, especially recently. For some reason, I've been feeling a very strong spiritual connection to her, and I never met her. So my grandma, my mom's side.
My mom's side. Okay.
Yeah. I believe she was a healer. And so I think that the spiritual, you know, witchery was definitely there, in my bloodline. And I think I would relate to her a lot. So I've just been hearing little stories about what she was like and how she'd walk around the house with like a coconut burning stuff out of, you know, and that she'd like see spirits or whatever. And, you know, I was just like, wow, that's so cool. I had no idea. And so I feel a really strong connection to her, even though I never met her.
An item that you still have that no longer works.
I have this clock that I got at a flea market. I don't think it ever worked, honestly. It never worked, but it's a clock that is it's like from the 70s or 80s or something. It's a very specific style, and actually it glows in the dark. And my mom used to have one in her house that I recall this specific clock that glowed in the dark, and I saw it at a flea market and I was like, ah, oh, it was very packed with nostalgia. So I bought it, but it never worked.
Interesting how things happen like that. And lastly, if you could go back to a particular time in space, a decade, an era, anything stand out?
Okay, I have two. One's really weird and out there, but like, I would like to just like float back into time and just see what dinosaurs were like. I wouldn't want to be amongst the dinosaurs, but I am super curious to see what like Earth looked like at that point and what the animals were like at that point. But more so, you know, more currently, I think the 20s, I think like a flapper girl kind of vibe, the roaring 20s would be super fun. And also like no phones were there. It was just, I feel like you were very present and, you know, living experiences in that time. And it just seems like a really fun period of time.
Let's talk about your music just a bit. I created your music career. You do so many things. So you're coaching, you've got a new EP coming out as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my artist project right now is really just focused around having a lot of fun. My husband is a producer, and one of the best things about our life and our relationship is we get to make music together all the time. And it's just really awesome. It's just like such a great piece of our relationship. And so I make music all the time. We have a home studio here. So I just, whenever I have an idea or I'm inspired, I just hop in there and create. And a lot of these songs actually are songs that I did a really long time ago, and they've just been sitting on a hard drive actually. And, you know, I think this year I just really wanted to just start putting out more stuff and have fun with it and just release the hard drive. So this project has 5 songs on it, and it's all written by me, and I'm just having a really, really good time with the project.
You seem to have a different persona, and I don't know if this is an artist thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Be sitting here now and then as Dylan. So how do they integrate? What happens with that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I also tell my husband often that I'm like, I have so many split personalities. Like, I have so many personalities. But I think they're all me. It's just, you know, with my Dylan project, I get to express that piece of me explicitly in a different way than I would say coaching. You know what I mean? So I don't think they're, you know, separate of each other. I think they're all me. It's just, I'm able to really play and have fun through my music and explore different aspects of myself, my, you know, more badass self, and, you know, and just really express that piece of me, because that's there all the time, but it just gets to come out in a different way. And you know, with coaching and writing in the books and stuff, I think that sort of motherly, nurturing piece of me and caring for, you know, up and coming people is very, very strong there as well. So I get to play in that arena as well. So I think it's good to just embrace all sides, and it's okay to be a little bit of a Rubik's Cube and, you know, just be colorful.
Yes, as you say, it's you. It's a part of you. And yeah, we're not one-dimensional. We make many personalities, and it's okay to have split ones. The ones that aren't diagnosed, those are the ones.
Yeah.
And just to touch quickly on the depression part, I used to work with a lot of people who suffer from depression. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe people realize how debilitating depression can be. And often they're told, oh, just pull your socks up, or, oh, you know, just watch a film, have a cup of tea in England, have a cup of tea. Like, that will solve everything. And someone once said to me, look, I can barely get out of bed. So I don't know if you may have a word for someone who might be suffering from depression. Perhaps they're an artist as well, and that can really be debilitating.
Of course. Yeah. So I totally get it. And when I went through it, my depression was debilitating. I didn't go out. I didn't see anybody. I didn't eat. I was barely sleeping. If I was sleeping, I was sleeping all day. I had no reason to get out of bed. I looked like a ghost. And I remember a really distinct brain fog. Like, it felt like my brain just couldn't connect. Like, it just wasn't, and my emotions were all over the place. I definitely pulled out a big beat myself up stick all the time. Why can't I just be good? Like, what's wrong with me? It's debilitating. And I think, really the thing that worked for me specifically was, and I talk about this in my book, is called The Short List. And it's 3 to 5 small, manageable tasks for you to do every day. So whether it's take a walk, wash your face, write a poem, or pick up your guitar, small, manageable tasks, just so that it gives you something to do, something to focus on, some feeling of momentum. Because when you're stuck in that loop, that like playback, like from hell loop, just the same, that really, really, it's disruptive and really hard to deal with. And I think the short list really just gives you that sense of we're moving forward, you know, and that helped me a lot.
The book, I mean, I can't recommend it enough. That's amazing. Oh,
thank you.
Out there like it, because you're living it. You're the artist. Right. You are in it. So
right.
Who better to get, you know, what's
thank
up
you.
Next for Stephanie?
I think what's up next is continuing with coaching and building programs that I'm excited about. And I already have started a second book. So I'll be working on that. Yeah. I don't know when it'll, you know, I have no deadline or anything yet, but I already got number 2 cooking. And especially now that I've done one, I know how to do the second one better. You know, I know my process now. When I first started, it was really a colossal task. It just felt so daunting to me. I had no idea what I was doing. And now that I've done it once, I'm like, all right, cool. Number 2 will be a lot easier.
Just quickly here about the book as well, and your aesthetic too, because I noticed the book stood out for me because of its aesthetic, the black and the gold. And that mm-hmm. seems to be a part of your aesthetic too, just behind you, also sometimes what you wear as well. What do the colors mean for you? Colors have energy, really. So
yeah, they do. That's a great question. I love black. I love gold. I love sparkles. I love things that feel magical and mysterious and mystical. And that's not to say I don't like all colors. I definitely love to wear bright, colorful things sometimes as well. But I think, I don't know, it just gives me a sense of, it feels like regal and powerful and universal to me. And I think that's, I guess, part of my brand. I don't know. You want it to feel powerful and strong, you know? I love gold. I've always been obsessed with gold, and I wear it a lot, as you can see, with my jewelry and stuff. So I don't know, just been drawn to golds and blacks and things like that.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful. And it really is a part of you. So it's very striking as well. And it is quite regal, isn't it? Cleopatra and Rome, and really abundance and riches and living well. And I can see how you're very spiritually connected to all the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, what do you do daily to help you maybe stay focused, grounded, centered?
I have a really solid morning routine that I rarely veer away from. Right when I wake up, I meditate. And then I jump straight into my gratitude journal and my morning pages. So right upon waking, I'm meditating and I'm writing. So those are anchors for me to help me feel grounded and centered and sort of, you know, it's a space for me to like sort through my thoughts or set intentions for the day. And so that those two elements are really key for me. And, you know, setting a lot of alone time for myself as well. But I'm so sensory. Like, I love my sprays. I love my oils. I love my crystals. I'm touching things all and moving things around. And yeah, anytime you do a songwriting session, I'm like pulling out all the crystals and the incense and pulling tarot cards. And yeah, no, I love the sensoriness of playing with all my metaphysical stuff.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. This has been fascinating just to learn more about you, about your music, about your book, about all the things that you offer creatives. We call them creatives, people who create. Yeah. Anyone, as you said at the beginning of the show, could join in and be inspired, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely applicable to any creative field. Or if you don't consider yourself creative, let's say, because empaths can be in, you know, medical fields, you know, it could be in really high stress medical fields, and creativity could be a great thing for you to help balance that. So even though it is for creatives, I like to leave it open to empaths and HSPs and incorporating creativity in their self-care.
And if people want to join in, I know your last one started on in April, the end of April. So when's the next intake?
The next is July. So the next songwriter series will be in July. Yeah.
But they can find out all the information from your website.
Oh, yes. They can join the waitlist now. Yeah. You can sign up and put your name down and we'll send you an email right away. Yeah.
Perfect. But also follow you on social media, because no doubt you'll be posting and saying when things are happening, so they could do that as well.
Yes. Yes, of course. I'm Stephanie Frizell, Steph with an F and then an I, Frizell. And I'm on Instagram, TikTok, all of the social media platforms.
Perfect. Stephanie, you're an amazing person. Your energy is just fantastic to speak with.
Thank you so much. So fun. And I had such a great time. This was a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me today. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment and share the video on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow on your favorite social media platform. See you soon.